morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Michael Tolercio, pastoral intern of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. And I'm not in Forest Hill this morning. I'm not in Maryland at all. I'm actually out here in beautiful Dallas County, Iowa, with my wife and kids visiting her sister and our brother-in-law and their children. And we're enjoying some of the sights here. Glad that you're with us today as we continue making our way through the book of First Chronicles. We're in chapter 4 this morning. And as we've been making our way through the book, we've been seeing a lot of names. And not surprisingly, we're going to see more of them today. But we're also, hopefully, with the Lord's help, we're going to see how God has been gracious to give us not only these names, but the story behind these names. Story pointing forward to a singular name, the name of Jesus. So let's ask in Jesus' name for the Father's help to see him, even if in just a simple glimpse today of our passage before us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have gifted us with opportunities to enjoy your goodness, Lord, whether it be the goodness of creation or the special goodness of your word, which is more clear to us about your character than even your creation is. We see some things in your creation that astonish us and awe us. We are in awe right now over how the wildfires in Canada can have such a drastic impact on so many areas of your creation. We pray for those who are especially in the Toronto area this morning, Lord, as they are breathing in some of the debris there from those wildfires. We pray for those in our country, Lord, here in the States that are dealing with the remnants and some of the fog and the smog from that as well, Lord. We pray that in light of the reality that creation testifies to your power and your creativity, we pray that we would be in awe of your word today and that we would see Jesus as the one who has come to fix all of the chaos, all of the problems, all of the debris and all of the smog that result from the fallen creation. We pray that we would see him, even a glimpse of him in today's passage, in the midst of all these names and the way that you've chosen to reveal yourself in 1 Chronicles 4. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, beginning in verse 1, we read, "The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Reaiah, the son of Shobal, fathered Jahath, and Jahath fathered Ahumai and Lahad. These were the clans of the Zorathites. These were the sons of Etam, Jezreel, Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazalel-Poni, and Penuel fathered Gedor, and Ezer fathered Husha. These were the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, the father of Bethlehem. Ashur, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naarah. Naarah bore him Ahuzam, Hefer, Temeni, and Hahashterai. These were the sons of Naarah, the sons of Hela, Zereth, Izhar, and Ethnan. Kaz fathered Anub, Zababah, and the clans of Aharhel, the son of Haram. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain.' And God granted what he asked. Caleb, the brother of Shua, fathered Meher, who fathered Eshtem. Eshtem fathered Bethrapha, Pasea, and Tehinnah, the father of Ernahash. These are the men of Rekah, the sons of Kenaz, Othniel and Sarah, and the sons of Othniel, Hathath and Meonathai. Meonathai fathered Ophrah, and Sarah fathered Joab, the father of Geharashim, so called because they were craftsmen. The sons of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Eru, Elah, and Naam. The son of Elah, Kenaz. The sons of Jehalalel, Ziph, Ziphah, Tiriah, and Asarel. The sons of Ezra, Jether, Mered, Epher, and Jalon. These are the sons of Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, whom Mered married, and she conceived and bore Miriam, Shammai, and Ishba, the father of Eshtemoa. And his Judahite wife bore Jered, the father of Gedor, Heber, the father of Soko, and Jekuthiel, the father of Zanoah. The sons of the wife of Hodiah, the sister of Naham, were the fathers of Keilah the Garmite and Eshtemoah the Maacathite. The sons of Shimon, Amnon, Rinna, Bethhana, and Tilon. The sons of Ishai, Zoheth and Ben-Zoheth. The sons of Shelah, the son of Judah. The father of Lekah, Leada, the father of Marisha, and the clans of the house of linen workers at Bath-Asheba. And Jochim, and the men of Kazeba, and Joash, and Seraph, who ruled in Moab and returned to Lehem. Now the records are ancient. These were the potters who were inhabitants of Netaim and Gedera. They lived there in the king's service. The sons of Simeon, Nemuel, Jamin, Jarib, Zerah, Shaul, Shalom was his son, Mibsam his son, Mishma his son. The sons of Mishma, Hamuel his son, Zachar his son, Shimei his son. Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters, but his brothers did not have many children, nor did all their clan multiply like the men of Judah. They lived in Beersheba, Molada, Hazar Shul, Bilhah, Ezem, Toled, Bethuel, Horma, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Susim, Beth Biri, and Sheram. These were their cities until David reigned, and their villages were Etam, Aen, Rimmon, Tokim, and Ashan, 5 cities, along with all their villages that were around these cities as far as Baal. These were their settlements, and they kept a genealogical record. Meshobab, Jamlech, Josha, the son of Amaziah, Joel, Jehu, the son of Joshabiah, son of Sarah, son of Asiel, Elioenai, Jeacobah, Jeshohiah, Esaiah, Adio, Jesimiel, Benea, Ziza, the son of Shiphai, son of Alan, son of Judea, son of Shimrai, son of Shemaiah. These mentioned by name were princes in their clans, and their fathers' houses increased greatly. They journeyed to the entrance of Gedor, to the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks, where they found rich, good pasture, and the land was very broad, quiet, and peaceful, for the former inhabitants there belonged to Ham. These, registered by name, came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and destroyed their tents and the Meunites who were found there, and marked them for destruction to this day, and settled in their place, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, 500 men of the Simeonites, went to Mount Seir, having as their leaders Pelatiah, Neariah, Rephaiah, and Uzziel, the sons of Ishai. And they defeated the remnant of the Amalekites who had escaped, and they have lived there to this day. Well, that ends the reading of today's passage. And as we made mention earlier, there are many names in it, beginning with the name of Judah. Now, you recall from just a few days ago, perhaps, that Judah was mentioned in chapter 2. And Pastor Jason noted how Judah's first 2 sons, and Onan, were wicked men whom the Lord put to death. That's actually mentioned, or at least with regard to one of them, is mentioned in chapter 2, verse 3. But Judah had 3 other sons. He had a son named Shelah, and then later, by his daughter-in-law, Tamar, he actually had 2 more sons, 2 twin sons, Perez and Zerah. And we read about these men, these sons of Judah, and Judah's story there in chapter 38 of Genesis. And if we had continued on from Genesis 38, a couple chapters, you may remember if you were with us for that, that in chapter 49, the tribe of Judah was singled out as the tribe from whom God would give a coming ruler over all peoples. From the tribe of Judah, there would come one who would shepherd God's people, Israel, who would have a scepter that would not depart from him. And that was a promise, that was a prominent promise made in Genesis 49, and it carried on all the way through. Now, we mentioned the other day in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 when we were doing our devotion that 1 Chronicles 1 brings us all the way back to the beginning of creation, and it's carrying us through. And so we're at the point now in today's passage where we're looking at the 12 tribes of Israel, and we're going to look at them one tribe at a time. We're going to look at the genealogies from these tribes. And the idea here is that we're seeing God's faithfulness to that promise that he made to the people of Israel in that promise from actually that blessing of Jacob back in Genesis 49, that through the tribe of Judah, there would come this king, this regal figure. Now, we've been reading about David, who was the sort of the first iteration of the fulfillment of that promise. We've been reading about him and in these last couple chapters, especially yesterday's chapter. But we're going to see the tribe of Judah identified here and a couple of details about it before we move on to the next tribe of Simeon, and then from there Reuben and Gad, so forth, as God is providing for his people and he's promising to give blessings to his people, in particular through the tribe of Judah. Now, the detail that I'd like for us to focus in on today is the one that begins in verse 9 with this man named Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, first thing to note is that Jabez is mentioned here in verse 9, but who are his brothers? Who is he connected to? Is he connected to Kaz of verse 8 or Nerah of verse 6? Tekoa of verse 5? I mean, where does he fit in? Now, sometimes the genealogies will list a person and then they'll kind of go through a list of names and they'll come back to that person and then they'll explain how that person fits in with these. But there's no mention of Jabez anywhere except in verses 9 and 10. And so we're not really sure where this man fits in genealogically. It's possible that he was one of the natural born sons of one of these men that we're reading of. Or it's possible that he was sort of adopted into the people of Israel, became a part of the people of Israel through his faith in God. And that he does have, that we read of in verse 10. So in verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." So this kid's name is Pain. Not because he's a pain in the neck, but because his mother was in pain as she bore him. So there's this pronouncement in a way about, in some form or fashion, there's this pronouncement about the groaning of the creation in this man Jabez's very name that his mother was doing. She was making this pronouncement about how creation is groaning in the pains of childbirth, perhaps, as she names her son Jabez. Or at least we might deduce that from there. We might draw that out. In verse 10, Jabez called upon the God of Israel. He looks to the one who can actually provide relief. Now, this is interesting because the word relief is tied back to the name Noah. Remember Noah. Noah's name means relief. And in his days, there was wickedness, rampant wickedness all over the world. So I wonder if as Jabez's mother names her son Pain because of her pains of childbirth, and Jabez is looking for some relief from that kind of pain, because whatever the pain his mother experienced was also pain that he himself was concerned to not experience as a result of, what does it say there in verse 10, harm. See the footnote there? He asks that the Lord would keep him from harm or evil. Perhaps what's going on here is that Jabez is asking for the Lord to keep him from the ramifications, from the results of evil that is plaguing the creation. Now, perhaps that's because the people in his day are turning away from the Lord. Turning away from the Lord by not taking God at his word to drive out the Canaanites. Remember, this is a particular moment in the history of God's people that we're reading, that we're entering into here in this genealogy. And if we recall, what God's people were to do in this time, in this generation, is that they were to drive out the inhabitants of Canaan, the wicked people that were living there, so that God's people could come and dwell in that land. And we get mention of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh there, and how he, if we remember, had driven out the Anakim, the giants who are living in the land. He was actually taking God at his word in his day. And I think that Jabez is probably a contemporary, and he's probably crying out to the Lord for deliverance from the inhabitants there from the fallenness of the world, from those who were turning away from God and supposed to be God's people, we get him singled out here. And he is actually taking God at his word. He is, how do we see that? Well, his prayer there in verse 10 is, in calling upon the God of Israel, he says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." What kind of deliverance is this man Jabez looking for? He's probably looking for the deliverance that would come from his land being enlarged, his inheritance increasing, because he's actually trusting God to give him victory, just like Caleb, over the enemy as he seeks to drive out the inhabitants of Canaan in this day. So, contrary to what a popular book from about two decades ago would have us think, a book called The Prayer of Jabez, based on this verse, contrary to that, God is not looking to just give people material blessings, as if Jabez was just asking for material blessings. He's actually calling on God to be faithful to his promises, and he's willing to stand on God's promises to, like Caleb, drive out the inhabitants of the land in his day, and to have his borders secured by the Lord as he's driving out these wicked men from them. Jabez was actually trusting God in the midst of this. He wasn't just looking for an easy, comfortable life. The kind of pain he was looking to be delivered from was the kind that results from harm or evil brought about in a world that is fallen. And so he's looking to honestly take God at his word. And that's something that you and I can do as well. Because this Judahite line here, from which Jabez is named, is the line from which a king would come. And that king Jesus, that true king who would deliver his people, told us to pray, to ask God to deliver us from evil. So we, like Jabez, are really just called, in line with Jesus' words for us, in line with this prayer of Jabez, to ask God to deliver us from evil. And we know that in Christ, we are delivered from evil. What a great and glorious promise and a connection here that we have in today's passage. Now, the other thing I want us to see is just how these men from Simeon's line, beginning in verse 34, seek to do the same thing that perhaps, at least I believe, Jabez is doing, and we know at least that Caleb was doing in his day, if we were to go back and look at the history. Caleb being mentioned there, and I haven't mentioned it, but verse 15, that Caleb. These sons of Simeon are doing the same. They are, in their day, and in fact, way later in Israel's history, because this is, if you look at verse 41, this came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. This is many years later that these men of Simeon are finally taking a stand on God's promise to drive back a people group here called the they're identified as the belonging to the inhabitants of Ham. Former inhabitants there belonged to Ham. Ham is the father of Canaan, the father of Egypt, the father of these, we might say, Gentile people groups, might be the simplest way to describe them, the Canaanites. These men of Simeon go in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, many years later to drive out the Canaanites, the descendants of Ham. And so we see some glimpses of God's mercy and grace to raise up people that would actually trust him in today's passage. And brothers and sisters, if you're in Christ, you have every opportunity to do the same. You have the Holy Spirit living in you if you're in Jesus Christ, convicting you and enabling you to take God at his word, that he will drive back the darkness if you will stand on his promises today. He will give you the kind of rest in your souls, maybe not physically, maybe not materially, but he will give you the kind of rest in your soul that you need, the kind that Jabez's prayer was actually pointing us forward to, and the kind of rest that we see pictured in a way here that these men of Simeon receive with these pasture lands and for their flocks as they drive out these inhabitants, these descendants of Ham from the promised land. Let's live in God's promised land, who is Christ Jesus today. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, would you give us wisdom as to how to live in light of Jesus' kingship over all of creation today? May we take a stand on his word that you will deliver us from evil, O Lord, in him. We read in 1 John chapter 5 that the evil one cannot actually touch your people if we're found in Christ Jesus, that we are protected from the evil one because Jesus paid for our sins and has secured us from any sort of tyranny that the devil might try to inflict over us. Would we take refuge in that kind of deliverance? Would we seek deliverance from evil, from harm in Jesus? The spiritual harm, the spiritual evil that are all over this creation, but you are driving back in Christ. May we claim those promises of deliverance from true evil today in him. May we live in light of his glorious salvation, his death and resurrection, which secured this forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope that this time in 1 Chronicles 4 will have made some sense. I know I jumped around a bit, but hopefully at least some of these strands will become more clear for you and pointing us forward to Jesus, who is the fulfillment of even this chapter of Scripture. And I pray that you'll go out today in his name and that you'll have victory over the lies of the devil and the way of the world and even your own flesh through Christ's Spirit living in you. And I hope you'll be able to join us again tomorrow as we continue walking through the Word with Jesus, one chapter per day. God bless.